Welcome to the Happy Half Hour. I'm Brett Ehrlich. And before we get to our amazing guest, I just want to make some quick announcements about TYT. What you're seeing now is the new setup that I'm streaming from my new computer that is made possible by Artesian Builds. Go to artesianbuilds.com, and if you enter code checkout, code TYT, I haven't even started drinking. If you enter code TYT at checkout, you can get up to $100 off a new PC. It's amazing. They're fantastic. You can subscribe to their or follow their Twitch channel, subscribe, do whatever you want, and you can actually watch our PC get built. And then at the end of today's show on the members feeds, you get to watch the unboxing of this amazing computer. It's fantastic. Big thanks to Noah, who put together the computer, and we watched them, and the whole team over at Artesian Builds. They're super nice guys. Anyways, without further ado, here is our beloved guest. Aishwarya is here, our producer, associate producer on main show here at the Young Turks. Aishwarya, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm excited to be here. I was a little nervous, but I'm super excited.
And well, just start drinking and the nerves will go away. What do you have that you're imbibing?
I am drinking a Moscow Mule, which is just an all-time heavy drink to drink.
So, Aishwarya, you gave me a suggestion. My brother grows pomelos. You were like randomly brought those up, and it was like, those are great Negronis. And the reason you know so much, you're a bartender. You have knowledge.
Right? I bartended for a few years, actually. I bartended when I was in college, and then I bartended in Florida for a while. But honestly, I just worked in dive bars. I just like making fancy drinks for myself, which is why I even know how to make a Negroni. But, like, yeah, I would just, like, pour 10 whiskey sodas at, like, you know, line by line. That was my bartending. I didn't really make a lot of fancy drinks at all. A lot of shots.
That's great. What's your favorite fancy drink to make for yourself? I know you just got done doing pre-record the conversation, then you had to run right here, so you said you made a Moscow Mule before we shot. But if you could make any drink, what are the go-to drinks for Aishwarya?
I really like having a Manhattan. I think that's you can have like three of those and feel, you know, good and not think about having any more drinks, hopefully. And yeah, it's just a good drink to drink.
That's so good. Manhattan's fantastic. That's one of those that I've ordered before I knew what it was. Where I was like, oh, there's the old fashioned, there's the Manhattan. I've heard those said during episodes of Mad Men, so I guess I should just order one.
Pretty good too.
I like them. I like that old fashioned's a term when it's like, that's an old drink. So was it ever just called like a fashion? I apologize. So Aishwarya, there's a lot going on in the world. We want to find out how you're getting through this quarantine time. And I love that we have like TYT people on the show. We're going to continue to do that. Many, many folks, especially people who are working right now behind the scenes on this episode. We want to get Alex in here as soon as it's okay. Get everybody in. But we want to find out how everybody's feeling safe and sane in this segment. Stay safe, stay sane. Awesome. So we're trying to stay safe. We're trying to stay sane. How are you getting through this? Because you started at TYT right before all this happened. How has that experience been?
I mean, it's been remote. I've been working remotely from home, except for the time that I got trained. And like, I think in the middle of my training, we were like, yeah, we're just like not coming anymore. Or not even in the middle. I think I was a good 2 weeks in office. And then, like, when I was about to start, then I was, told that we're not going to come. And it was supposed to be a month. And I really am, like, waiting to go back and meet everybody. And my desk is right across from Anna's. And, you know, I've always, like, fan-followed her. And I want to go back and sit at my desk and come running to you for all the problems I have. And I just really miss that a lot.
Honestly, everybody's experience with a job is weird. Like getting to know everyone. Oh my, and the names and the places and how everything works. I have to keep reminding myself that you had, like 2 weeks at the company before it was like, nah, everybody go home, never see each other. And the reason I have to keep reminding myself of that is because you're so good. It's just like, Aishwarya produces multiple segments every single day, as well as the conversation. But how did you come to know of TYT?
It was like in India. Like I went to a very progressive school called JNU back home in India. And, you know, those guys were like all into protesting and this and that. So I would like to read a lot and look up a lot. And I remember there was this one something where I think Cenk mentioned Chomsky. And I was like this huge fan of Chomsky. And I was reading a lot of him at the time. So I was like, okay, maybe I gotta check these guys out. And then I like finished that master's program and I worked for a while and I came here and I just kept watching TYT all this while. And so when I was here doing my journalism program, I was like, that's who I want to work for. Like, it just makes complete sense. You know, it's a complete circle.
It's amazing. And you've spoken to Noam Chomsky, because on Thursday we aired that interview. What's that experience like of like, now not only am I working at the place I want to work at, but I'm talking to the person who is like the center of the Venn diagram.
Oh yeah.
Not John's Venn diagram of desire, as Dragon Squad knows, but the center of the Venn diagram of why you're working at the company.
It was super cool. I did not produce that interview. I sure produced that interview because I was working for the main show this morning, but I tried my level best to get him on Skype yesterday and failed miserably. But like, just talking to him, like I was like sweating on the other side of the screen trying to get a Skype test set up. So yeah, it was super cool.
So cool. So fun. Yeah. And so what is something, if someone who is watching the show, because you watched us before you worked for us and with us, what is something you think that people wouldn't expect, or like a fun little tidbit about working at TYT that you think people should know about?
I mean, if you saw me on the first day of work, I was like fully dressed in formals. Like I was wearing this full sleeve with this like formal skirt and like, you know, like leather shoes, a leather bag, tied my hair into like a nice bun and put on makeup. And then I went to work and I saw everyone roaming around in like t-shirts and jeans. And I mean, honestly, now that I think about it or reflect back on it, I should have known, because I watched a lot of behind the scenes and like it reflects poorly on me that I didn't think of it. But yeah, it was like, I was like, oh my God, I'm so overdressed. What am I going to do now? But yeah, that's one thing I would think.
That's awesome. Well, we have a lot of show left to discuss, and we'll find out more about you. And we're going to show a lot of stuff about what's happening at the DNC, because it's ridiculous. So don't go away. We got a lot more Happy Half Hour, a lot more Aishwarya after this. All right, everyone. We're in the thick of the DN season. I guess it's over by now, but like the Republican National Convention's next week. This week is the Democratic National Convention, and we went through a lot. And without a crowd, it gets real, real weird, but they're going to give it to us anyway. So it's a perfect time for a politically themed version of Thanks, I Hate It. Thanks, I Hate It. The DNC, we've watched it, and I want to get your thoughts on Aishwarya, but I want to share with you this take from Marianne Williamson, who was interviewed, and her take was, the Democratic Convention is like binge watching a Marriott commercial. And I personally thought it was more of like a telethon experience, but the truth is, it is like binge watching a Marriott commercial. Have you been watching it? Because I know you finish your very long day job, but have you caught any of it this week?
Some of it, only the ones I'm interested in. Like I watched Michelle Obama speech working the main show, but then like I watched Bernie Sanders and AOC's 1 minute, and honestly, I think there's like a lot of like genuine stuff, but then it's also like ambushed with a lot of drama. Like, there are so many unnecessary things right now that are happening. I feel like, honestly, I would actually go and watch the DNC only if I was interested in a speaker. But then there are so many of them that I personally don't connect to or want to hear them speak, because I kind of think that they're going to say the same thing.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's all stitched together by, like, Eva Longoria or someone else that's essentially just being your host. And this is a move. I do, like, a special for ABC every year, and this is what it is. They have someone to stitch it together who just stands in, like, this weird no zone and kind of says, here's what's coming up next. But it's true. In my heart of hearts, I don't believe that any of the speeches are any longer or shorter than they were last year. But I do believe personally that it's only exposed how short the speeches normally are. The fact that there isn't anyone clapping, and that's what it is. It's all clapping. It's so weird. And they have to fill it with a bunch of other random stuff. And normally when boring stuff is happening during the Democratic National Convention in conventional years, so to speak, they go back. You're watching it on some network like ours or someone else's, and they come back to the studio. But with the direct feed that the DNC is pumping out, not just to people who work at news networks, but to the general public, people are noticing things. And this was amazing to me. This was a tweet from Bubba Progressive, who said, almost all networks cut away immediately after Michelle Obama's speech, which you just talked about, to do analysis, meaning you are currently missing this. And as you see, that's Billy Porter. And next to Billy Porter is Stephen Stills from, like, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and, like, Jefferson Airplane or whatever, that genre of I'm sure I'm getting that wrong, but that genre of music. And this is what they played at the Democratic National Convention. And we're going to play it for you. Licensing fees be damned. Take a look.
There's something happening here. But it is exactly.
That's pretty spot on, then.
So I never, seldom are lyrics as appropriate as that. Like, they did a whole video of Billy Porter, who's, like, killing it right now for being at the forefront of, like, very effective, or, like, respected shows. And this is what they chose to show. They edited this and they broadcasted it to everyone. Like, what the hell is happening? Someone tweeted this is, I think it was Kyle Kalinske who tweeted, like, this is when Trump won re-election. But, like, from a producer perspective, you watch it and you're like, oh, Billy Porter he's just in front of a green screen. And the producers are like, oh, no, we'll take care of you. It'll be totally fine. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I think it's just so goofy. Would you ever do that for, like, any of the series or shows that you work for? Like, I mean, I can't imagine cutting off to something with, like, goofy music in context of the DNC. Like, what is politics a joke now? It's just, I don't know.
It's so crazy weird. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. It's amazing.
That's the whole thing. Like, politics is a joke now. Like, I mean, if you do look at our current president and, like, how he talks and how he carries himself, it is pretty much off a joke. So,
yeah.
I wouldn't think that it's too far-fetched for them to get the numbers, I guess.
So amazing. Okay, so there are no live audiences this year, but there have been in years past, and my wife, the Brooke Marks, and you see on the show, whatever, this isn't her show, this is my show, god damn it, she has been watching this nonstop. This is a video from the 1996 Democratic National Convention, when the Macarena was all the rage. We need to watch this little time capsule. Take a look.
Is that where it would look so fun?
Like, I just can't. I just can't. But, like, just Hillary Clinton being, like, done with the Quinn fight. Like, it's just insane.
I mean, it looks like a party, honestly. It looks like at least they're having fun. I don't think they do that anymore.
They don't. They don't. Well, there was... Oh, damn, I wish I had it. But, like, last time with the balloons and, like, Bill Clinton, like, catching a balloon and being like, I caught a balloon, Hillary. I don't care about any of this. I'm probably going to help ruin it for you. But, oh, my God, I love it. To have... But nothing like that could happen now. Like, it was so cheesy back then. And everyone was like... Oh, there's just three TV networks and everyone only like consumes three kinds of media. So it's like totally fine.
It looks so fun. I wish they did it now. And I'm sure the other side would like, you know, not like it and bitch about them. But that's like even more fun. That's what makes it more fun. Look at them. Like they're having a party right there. It's so much better than, I don't know, like what we're doing now.
Dude, after watching this, I pulled up and played like the original Macarena by Los Del Rio, and that song's like 20 minutes long, and it's the same thing over and over again. But as a kid, it was like I went full Teletubbies on, and I was like, again, I'm doing it again.
It's like the ketchup song. You remember the ketchup song? It was the same lyrics over and over again.
What's the ketchup song? Could you please sing it for us? Thank you very much. It's all right if you do.
Something like that. I don't remember it.
You don't know if it's you. First of all, are you being serious that you don't remember it, or are you just trying not to sing it for me?
No, I do not. I do remember listening to it a lot, and I kind of like have the like sound to it, but I can't like put the gibberish together.
All right. We'll take your word for it. It's not just the DNC that has had its fill of embarrassing moments. Also, there are actual elections going on, one of which we're watching very closely. It's Ed Markey versus JK3, Joe Kennedy III, who I knew in college, sort of. I knew his brother better. His brother was really fun, and he was just kind of in the douche frat. Anyways, there was a question about crying at their debate, and I just need to share it with everybody. Please take a look.
Congressman Kennedy, when was the last time you cried?
Yesterday.
Senator, when was the last time you cried?
It was on Sunday at an event when I heard a statement that was made that was just so powerful that I could not stop in my emotional reaction to it.
What do you think about a debate moment where the question is, when was the last time you cried?
I don't know. Honestly, I thought about the last time I cried, and I couldn't give like less of a damn about why is that a pertinent question? Like, how is that going to decide anything that they're going to do?
I don't know. Like, this is really like the pressing question of like, what is authenticity anymore in like politics and discourse in America? Like, and I think it's because when you're doing this stuff, you just have, you're talking to an entire state. And I know like my radar just goes off for like what a white woman between 58 and 78 would think. That's always been like the demo I've appealed to. Sorry to everyone else, but it's like they eat that up. Oh, and they're in Boston, so they're like, oh, first of all, he's not black, so it's fine. And he cried the other day. It's like,
so
I don't know.
Let's appeal to a few more viewers to our show. Like, when was the last time you cried, Brett?
I mean, August 7th was the 20th anniversary of my dad's death, if we must know. So, and I didn't cry until I was like, I know I was over there in our house and I was like washing dishes and I was like, and then I realized I was crying and I just stopped. That was it. How about you, Ashwarya?
If we're putting people on the spot. That was like the best question to ask. I almost cried yesterday when I almost screwed up the conversation. I really tried so hard to explain to Noam Chomsky how to go on Skype, and I tried for a good, like, 50 minutes. And it was a Zoom meeting, and I just couldn't. And then I just hung up the Zoom call, and I think I just sat and, like, cried for 5 minutes, because I'm probably speaking to one of the smartest people in the planet, and I couldn't explain to them how to get on Zoom. So, yeah. I don't know before that. I don't know. But, yeah, yesterday was... It was a meltdown.
I can't. It sounds like a Mad Lib. I tried to get Noam Chomsky to figure out Zoom.
I misspoke.
Oh, it's so good. I love it. And he just, I can't. Thinking of, like, the story of how you found out about TYT, the number of miles that brought you to working here with all of us, to you had to tell Noam, like, that is the premise of, like, an amazing joke, and I am so sorry that it caused you emotional distress, and I'm glad that here on the Happy Half Hour, place of all places, we can laugh at it. There's so much more to laugh at, and with Don't Go Away, we got more for you after this. Oh, hi, welcome back. I'm on to beer now, because the Negronis are empty. I had two of them, I'm a little tipsy, and Alex is very judgy right now. Alex, I was like, oh, I think I'm tipsy because of two Negronis. And I was like, yeah, you dumbass, of course you are.
Alex, like, God, like, she's, like, you know, sitting up there.
And we record this during the coverage of the DNC. So it's like everyone at TYT, all hands on deck. We're having a good time. And it's true. Like, there's two small images of me and Alex in this screen, or me and Ashwarya in the screen. And then there's a giant Alex next to it being like, 5 seconds. You better come in 4 seconds.
She is kind of, in a way, God right now.
Yeah, she is. She is in charge. Well, she's definitely in charge of us. And if she wants to, we could cut away at any time. I do want to also add, for the first time, that story about Noam Chomsky is one of my favorite stories, as someone who'd read about him. And then to just... And I've never spoken to him. You've spoken to him. And not only in that have you spoken to him, you've done it in a way that is the most specific way anyone can. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I did not imagine that through my first conversation with Noam Chomsky, I would be trying to explain to him how Skype works instead of learning something from this author that I admire. But yeah, you know, life happens in unexpected ways.
We so. All accept the fact that Noam Chomsky is, as we all under, especially talking about Noam Chomsky, as we all understand the concept of intelligence as communicated by the word intelligence, he is smarter than us. But in that specific respect, if you were attach a concept to the word smart, you were smarter than Noam Chomsky.
Hey, this is, like, going to be, like, my, you know, the next 10 years, this is what I'm going to say. First time I spoke to Noam Chomsky, I felt smarter than him. I don't know if I can say that at all. Sound like...
No, he as a person who has watched many moments of Noam Chomsky, read a bunch about him, one of my best friends, who hopefully we'll have on the show someday, but he does a little too proud, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, his cat's name was Chomsky. We just, like... He has to accept that specific definition of those linguistic terms applied accurately just then. So that's fine. Life is fine. We move on. We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to communicate to people some amazing stuff that's happening in the world while we're all shut in. This is the week where I'm going a little crazy. Definitely last week I also went crazy. But one place where you can really appreciate how life is moving at a normal pace, according to this country that I've been to, I want to say 7 times, there's special new Tokyo toilets. So here we go. quote, transparent toilets created by Pritzker Prize winning architect Shigeru Ban and more than a dozen other leading designers are made from colored, quote, smart glass that turns opaque when the cubicles are occupied. We will show you this. This is a kind of toilet in a public space that, as you can see, changes. Some of them are opaque, and it's there to show you that no one's in them. It is clear, like there's a man washing his hands, but he's not using the toilet. As soon as you use the toilet, it all fogs over, so you can see that that someone's in there because you can't see them taking a duty.
Ashwari, let's say so cool. It's like some super Tokyo Drift stuff. It is. I can't imagine. How do people come up with these ideas? This is great.
It's Tokyo, man. They come up with all kinds of ideas. I went to a cafe that was the inside of a. It was the inside of a monster. That was it was called the Monster Cafe, and the concept was, oh, what if we had a whole cafe that was like the Nakade, it's all Spanish, that's the inside of a monster. And that was it. Yeah, and they were just like, I had that idea. I just built it. That's the same with these toilets.
So what was inside the cafe? Was it like intestines and like, you know, teeth?
You walk through a door that looks like the monster's teeth, but inside it's just like the most colorful cartoonish innards and booths. And then there's like weird burlesque shows of people like dancing on birthday cakes.
I'm so jealous you went to Tokyo like 7 times. I've never been to Tokyo and I really want to go. They just have like the most amazing ideas, like the one that I was just telling you about, like the one where you wash your hands and like the water goes into the flush system and you save so much water. And over here, we don't believe in global warming, so that's not going to happen. But
so, yeah. So so you are from India. We have a bunch of other stuff, but let's focus on, like, you learn about America from afar, and then you get here. What did you learn about us from before you got here? And like, is it true? You know? Does that make sense? Like, what was shocking to you about...
Yeah, I actually would visit a lot. Like, my mom worked for the airlines, and... I'd get free tickets all my life. So I'd like get to come here and have family here. So I'd get to come here. Unfortunately, they were Republicans, but I didn't know that they were also like Trump voting Republicans, because I kind of think that they're a different genre of Republicans. But yeah, like when I came here, I thought people were a little more saner than I think. I don't know if that's the correct word to use, but yeah, when I came here, I was like, okay, so the idea of America that we have is basically New York and California, and everything beyond that is like this vast expanse of God-fearing people, which is basically like India and America is similar in so many ways, except that we have a lot of uneducated people. But seems like over here it's the same way too, because like they just believe in the same things and they're God-fearing and they vote on religious lines, and you're like, it's like not the same thing. Like one of the first founding principles of politics was that God and state are different. But yeah, so I feel like in a strange way, I lived in London for a while too. It's like countries are very similar in the way, like in the voting base that you see in places. And at a point, honestly, that scares me. Like it's like every place is just turning into more far right and progressive values are diminishing, and it's a scary place. The world's a scary place, apart from global warming.
I think we can leave it there, and I think we can all agree that England screwed a lot of places up. Thank you on behalf of both our countries. Ashwarya, thank you so much for joining us. I had such a great time. Ashwarya, associate producer on The Young Turks, fantastic person. If you need any kind of drink tips, she obviously has the answers. Thank you so much. And then again, artesian builds, go there, use TYT, the code at checkout. You can get a computer as CP3. A computer as awesome as this. Yes, Alex, I'm drunk. Leave me alone. See you next time on the Happy Half Hour. And for members, stay tuned for the unboxing of our new computer, as well as its name is revealed. Thank you. Bye.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official unboxing of this amazing, beautiful, fantastic, amazing machine by Artesian Builds, our new partners. Go, if you want to buy stuff, go watch them. Go watch them and do it. Unboxing time! If you're wondering whether they're legit, one thing you should know in your heart of hearts, they have their own tape. No big. This is like the best flex. Okay. And in a very happy half-hour way, we are using a corkscrew knife to open up. We're open. Okay, now I'm actually gonna put it on the floor. Try not to drop it. Lifting with my back, not my legs. I do wanna say the first thing I see, the Kraken. And we should do a shot of Kraken to celebrate. This is the cooling system. Liquid cooler with RGB. Good morning. Pretty excited about that. I guess I should put it like here and display as I'm getting the other things out. Also inside, toys. Free toys for the kinders to play. This, and it's hands-free. Something that's gonna make Iderola super angry. We got ourselves a capture card, 4K, gorgeous. We want you to know how to put that in. Here's our Ryzen 3rd gen processor. Really awesome boxes that are creative. Here's the GeForce situation, so we can see things. This is our gaming motherboard, so that's where we're at. I'm just gonna show this for a second, then lay it down, because it's just not set up to be displayed that way. All right, this is when you know they know how to pack it.
When he opens a box, he really opens a box, you know what I mean?
Don't go pervass.
I just meant that you are ripping the box apart.
Good, it's empty. Water rig. I'm gonna put everything in the box so that when someone asks, what's in the box, I know the answer.
So it goes back to the corkscrew.
Yeah. Go with what you know. Force. Here's the power cable. Alright, here goes. Just testing it. Just testing it out. Use your legs. This is the most difficult thing anyone's ever done. Ladies. Right, everything's mostly going to come out the other side, as it always does. So we thought it was uneven on the bottom. Turns out that was the side of it. We're gonna be great owners. Great owners. But you can't really blame me, because I'm stupid. Look at that, now that's the front. All right, so here we go. Ready? Oh yeah. Oh God. Oh Jesus. Oh, for all that is lovely and great, I do declare. Spank it. set it over here. Love it. These are laughing gas. And there she is. Oh, Gihira? No, not really. And that's how I like them. Quiet. The her part made it sexist, but I wasn't talking about that. Computers. I love when women are just like,
my feeling. It's gender role stereotypes.
Dan's blowing my hair back. It's infinity mirror. Isn't she sweet?
Did you name her?
The leading name. And I'll explain it first. The name in the lead right now, because of two reasons. One, there's a park with this name in San Francisco where she was born. And two, she is sentient. And only just now really realizing it and the scope of it. So we've got San Francisco's Mission Dolores Park and Westworld's Dolores. I think her name might be Dolores. Feels right. Dolores.
I am your father.
Bye.